And now, Mike Broomhead, you have me wanting to listen for sure this morning, because I've got to see if you're going to cuss or not.
I'm going to do my best not to. As a matter of fact, the boss stepped in, and I know he's here.
I saw that.
So I know he's here.
I was like, oh, he must have heard that comment.
I may refrain now.
Have a good show.
Thanks, Jamie. Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. A lot to get to. I think I start every show saying there's a lot to get to, but there is. There are a lot going on this weekend, a lot we need to talk about. We finished Friday's show with a press release from an organization that was not the Phoenix Union's district, but it was an organization made up of, it's called the School to Liberation Campaign, made up by Poder in Action, Puente, some Phoenix Union board members, and some staff members. So this organization put out a press release in what is in the new policy for safety in the Phoenix Union High School District. Now, if you read the news stories about this, and this is not a criticism of news organizations, but if you read the headline, Phoenix Union votes to bring back school police, develop student bill of rights. Pretty innocuous. And you think, oh, good, victory for the schools. The cops are back. But I want to be clear. When it comes to school safety, and that's first and foremost, police officers on campus are not the answer. It's not the only solution. There is no doubt about that. That is not the answer to the problem. It is a more complex issue. It involves data and people who are collecting threats. It has to be someone that's in charge of those things, that it documents the threats when they come in, because we found out more often, and I say we as a society, we found out more often than not that no one makes the leap from just being a normal everyday kid to doing something violent, that there is a progression. So if we're talking about those kinds of shootings on campus, but aside from that, with school safety, we know that there are massive amounts of crimes being committed. There is a huge increase in guns on campuses across the state of Arizona. Phoenix Union is not immune to that. I've got a couple of pictures of students carrying guns on campus, brandishing the guns on campus, because kids, let's be honest, if you're going to put together, and I'm going to read from the press release about the Student Bill of Rights, a student-led, student-centered process to create a Student Bill of Rights. We all know what we were like as teenagers, and if you've ever had teenagers, no offense to teenagers, but they're still not that smart. They think they are. That's the problem. They're growing into much bigger bodies, and they don't think about consequences. You know as well as I do, you spend a lot of time saving your children from themselves. Experimenting with drugs, drinking at parties, unprotected sex, all the fears that parents have. You're just not mature enough to make these decisions. And yet, this is part of this. But kids bring a gun to school, you think they'd be terrified, but they're not. They can't help but show it off. And they've got pictures of kids on social media that they posted themselves with guns. They found at least two bags of fentanyl in one bust. And the cops weren't told who the kids were. And that's another part of this press release. Now, again, this isn't from Phoenix Union, but it is from staff members and from board members. It doesn't say which ones, but plural, members and staff. And I'm going to read this. A confidential complaint process to protect students, staff, and educators from police. Want me to read that again? A confidential complaint process to protect students, staff, and educators from police. So with this press release that came out, and the contact for this is from someone at Poder in Action. Someone ought to be reaching out to the district and asking them if they agree with these bullet points about what this process, what this new plan actually does. Because we would strive for perfection. We would strive for excellence. We would strive for academic excellence. Here's what they're striving for, according to this. An expulsion pilot program designed to keep kids out of the school to prison pipeline. It's a pretty low bar, isn't it? Pretty low expectations that your job as an educator at the high school level is to do your best to keep these kids out of prison. Now, I'm reading from the press release. My problem is, I have numerous problems with this. Number one, I live in Phoenix. I pay taxes in Phoenix. I want the schools that I'm paying taxes for to be the best that there are available. And they certainly are not. Also, I'm concerned about young people because young people need to be molded to a certain degree and they need to be protected from themselves. It's one of the reasons I thought that I was doing a service for my family by coaching my brother's school's sports. I became a football coach and I loved it. But I realized coaching young people was something I needed and I really didn't have until I got older. Instead of having coaches coach me, it was coaches that taught me how to coach. But these are usually older guys that kind of mentored me. And I realized for young men, especially young men need some kind of a mentor. And they need to be jacked up when they're told and told when they're wrong. They need to be told that it's good to be a good person. And what we're seeing now is you've got the inmates running the asylum. And it's sad. So they've come up with this plan. They're going to call them RROs, not SROs. They're regional resource officers, which is a cop out, is an absolute 100% complete cop out. Students speaking for and against this, and I will be very honest with you, students shouldn't have one word of a say in what happens in schools. AZ Family Report about the budget for counselors and other solutions.
The Board of Education, they've approved nearly $100 million to fund these positions, and Horn expects to add over 100 more SROs statewide over the next 3 years. There's also $45 million approved to add another 560 or so counselor and social worker positions.
Which is a fantastic idea. Counselors, social workers, great idea, but you need law enforcement. You also need a threat assessment plan. You've got to have somebody in charge of assessing the threats. You have to have a team of people there that can act when they believe it's necessary to act, to intervene before bad things happen. I've talked about all of these things we know are true. James Holmes, and if you don't remember that name, James Holmes was a mass shooter, and he was a graduate student in Denver. And I can't remember what university he was going to, but he was going to university and he was acting so strangely. He seemed to be so dangerous that there was an intervention team from the college that was going to go and intervene with him. But he had dropped out of school. So this is, again, not a criticism to the intervention team. They just thought since he's not a student here anymore, this is no longer our purview. We're out. We can't do anything now. He's the guy that shot up the movie theater by sneaking in a back door, throwing in smoke grenades and just indiscriminately shooting people in a movie theater. James Holmes was exhibiting such irrational behavior that an intervention team was going to move in, but he dropped out of school. We know about it, Jared Loughner in Tucson. Many of these people, they are giving off signs and letting people know that, and you are able to see if you're keeping track. You know that in the wake of 9/11, and I think these plans follow each other. In the wake of 9/11, the FBI was retasked, repurposed into an anti-terrorism organization. It was no longer acceptable when somebody attacked that you went and found out how they attacked, who attacked us, and go and get any survivors from the attack and punish the people that did it. The expectation was that the FBI was going to stop the attacks before they happened. Now, they haven't been 100%, but nothing is. But they have been amazing at being able to track this and intervene before an attack happens. There's a lot we don't know because it doesn't make the press unless something bad happens. But imagine that mindset, and that's the mindset that needs to be in schools, that there has to be a team of people that when a student makes a threat at a party or a student makes a threat on social media or a student makes a threat at lunch and is saying odd things or says they're going to do crazy things and another student goes to a teacher and says, hey, so-and-so is saying they're going to do this, that there is somebody at the school that starts tracking all of this. And when you start hearing the same kinds of threats or escalating behavior by one student, who then and how do you come up with a plan of where is there an intervention before that student does something violent? And I'm not talking about arrest. I'm saying intervention. This is where the counselors, this is where those people come into play, social workers. But that's part of a greater plan. But when you've got the crimes that are being committed on campuses now, the idea that we're going to lay this off on students is ridiculous. I've got audio of, and I'll probably play it later, but you've got one student that says, we want SROs. And you got another student that says, we don't want SROs. And in the end, we have to decide what's best for these kids. What's best for overall school safety? Because you keep hearing in the news, and what we heard originally from the Phoenix Union High School District was they were responding to students that were afraid of the police on campus. Well, I am hearing, and my sources are just as good as theirs because I hear from a lot of them as well, the teachers are telling me they are terrified, and students are telling them that the students are terrified. They know who the bad kids are. They know who the criminals are. They don't want to use the restrooms. So if you believe that the kids are happier on those campuses because there are no cops, you are deluded. You are just absolutely deluded in your thinking. You're not paying attention. And so the staff members and this document that we got from Poter in Action tells the story. This is an organization that they are calling themselves the School to Liberation Campaign. It involves Phoenix Union board members and some staff members. This wasn't student led. This is staff led. These are board members that hate the police, that have a political belief the police are the problem, and they are the ones that are making it impossible for the police officers to have a presence, and crime is out of control, period. Coming up in a moment, we're going to talk about the economy. Gas prices, are they set to increase? They've gone down 11 cents in a week. Are they getting ready to spike? We'll talk about why in just a moment.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right. Appreciate you being here. I don't know what you guys were so worried about. I just happened to be standing far away from the studio talking to Jim Cross right before I had to go on the air. I'm a trained professional. If I sound out of breath, I just ran in here.
Trained monkey, maybe.
We have to talk about gas prices and what's happening, because there's a lot we're going to get to later on that has to do with green energy. And again, I'm in favor of progress. I get to all of this, but they go hand in hand in lessons we should be learning that it doesn't seem that we are. The world's going to continue to need fossil fuels. We are going to be drilling for oil and petroleum products for such a long time that we ought to have a bigger role in it, and we don't. And anybody who believes, and I keep getting things like anecdotal things from people about how Biden is now pro-drilling. No, he's not. In his heart of hearts, no, he isn't. But I will just say that here's where the problem lies. Saudi Arabia announces cuts to oil production. The OPEC nations have agreed they are going to cut production by 1 million barrels per day. They say to stabilize, they call it a lollipop. This is a Saudi lollipop. I don't know what that means, but that's what they're calling it. Riyadh's voluntary cuts effective July of 2023 fall under a broader plan put in place by the organization, or OPEC. The Russian-led group settled on a deal to further reduce overall production targets through 2024. What's going to happen is we are going to see an increase in prices. They want to, what they are calling, stabilize oil prices. So anybody who believes that that's not the cause of the increase in a gallon of gasoline, it is. And how high will it go in Arizona? I want you to think about this. We are 11 cents cheaper today than we were a week ago, and we're still at $4.42 a gallon on an average. We were up near $5 a gallon, or at $5 a gallon, not too long ago. It is horrific for working families. Here's a headline. Maricopa County eviction filings climb again in May. Here's why. Landlords moved to evict more than 550 more renters in May than in April. So evictions fell during the pandemic, couldn't evict people during the pandemic. Now we're seeing higher rents or shuttering the doors on many renters whose incomes aren't keeping up. So this is a complex problem. But when you think about, talk about the fuel prices, when you look at what's going on, I want you to hear a little bit of this. This is an ABC report about gas prices spiking.
OPEC, the oil cartel, which controls about 40% of the world's oil, and its allies reaching a deal over the weekend to cut production by about a million barrels per day. This comes as these countries are concerned about possible oversupply if the economy slows down and we see demand go down as well. The last time OPEC surprised the world with this kind of move back in April, gas prices spiked.
So are we going to see a gas price spike? Now, you got to listen to the nations that are involved, because the Saudis have now reached out to Venezuela. Doesn't anybody understand the need for diplomacy? And this is why in a worldwide economy, I don't want to be supporters of the entire world. We're not the world's police force, but we have got to have a hand and a say. And this is the example. Here we are. Venezuela hates us. Their people are leaving in droves, coming to our doorstep because their economy is in shambles. But the Saudis are reaching out, throwing them a lifeline. We pulled out of Afghanistan, a mineral-rich nation. We pulled out completely from Afghanistan, turned it over to the Taliban. Who moved in? The Chinese, who also control so many of the minerals that we need. Solar panels, electric vehicles, the batteries that they use, all of these minerals you need in order to produce these vehicles, to produce what everyone is saying is the future. And here we are once again turning over the production of what is needed to power the world. We're turning it over to other countries. Have we not learned our lesson? The alliance is being made between the Chinese, the Russians, who leads the OPEC nations, the Saudis, who have a disdain for Joe Biden and for America to some degree. You look at the Iranians, who hate us. They're on board. They want to destroy Israel, but they hate us just as much. The North Koreans. Now you've got the Saudis reaching out to Venezuela, maybe doing a partnership with them, which is an amazingly oil rich nation. And here you have the recipe for disaster. How do we not as a nation, as a citizens, that just, I'm no expert on diplomacy, but you don't have to be an expert to look at what's happening and realize that us being energy independent is a national security issue, a national security issue. A little bit later on, we're going to talk specifically about pollution. The top 20 cities, top 20 polluted cities in the world. There is not an American or a European city on the top 20 list. China, India, Afghanistan, Iraq. And here we are moving in this direction with all of the, and again, ideologically, the idea of a cleaner way to deliver power, a cleaner way to get from one place to another, I'm in favor of. But we are turning over the creation of that to nations that, if nothing else, despise our economy. You know, the Russians learned a lesson. I talk about the Cold War because the world watched that happen. The world leaders are not stupid. World leaders of today were young adults then. And they watched the United States economy dominate the Soviet Union's economy in an arms race, and we crippled their economy. Now, it is more complex than that, but there was no shot fired. We destroyed their economy. And here we are turning over what's necessary to power our homes now and to power our vehicles in the future, and possibly our homes in the future, to nations that have one goal in mind, to destroy the economy of our country. I mean, this to me is such a no-brainer, and yet here we are once again watching it happen. Now, the immediate thing here is gas prices. Here in the Phoenix area, we still have very high inflation. We have a housing shortage. We know that all of that is true. But gas prices, we are going to watch them go up. We are still a wide city, not a tall city. Think about how many miles you drive back and forth if you just use your vehicle for work. How far you have to drive to get to work. And then how many of us want to live closer to where we work? Well, what does that do to you? If rent is outrageously high, especially when you get into the urban areas and the closer to downtown. So in order to get affordable housing, you are living in the outskirts of town. And yet gas prices still are, we're happy at $4.42 a gallon. That to me sounds strange. We have got to do more, and we aren't. We certainly are not. They say we are. We haven't seen anything. What we're going to do in a moment is we've got the BQ poll question of the day. That happens in just a few seconds.
The Gatos BQ poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
In again for Gatos is Steve Zinsmeister, the illustrious producer of the show. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Mike. You know, it's funny. Word on the street is that Apple is preparing to launch the next big thing that's going to revolutionize technology. Did you hear about this?
No, I did not.
So it appears, this is the Gatos Big Q poll question today, by the way. It appears Apple is preparing to launch a virtual reality headset for about $3,000 each. Will you buy it? Three answer choices that I gave you are yes, sounds amazing. Not right away, but I guess I'm interested. Or nope, seems dumb to me. Here's the thing about this. If they're truly trying to revolutionize, you know, technology the way that the iPhone did, where literally everybody has a smartphone nowadays, they're saying this is the next big thing since the invention of the Apple Watch. And I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like the whole virtual reality thing hasn't caught on yet. I do think it probably will in the next 10 years. But I ain't going out and spending $3,000 on something that I don't even know what it's used for.
Well, and if it's like technology, everything ends up being less expensive. When I was a kid, the Radio Shack used to keep tape recorders behind glass. You had a calculator was under glass, lock and key.
Right.
That's a true story.
What do they always say? What do they always say? Consumer electronic prices go down, not up.
Yeah.
I think you're probably better off buying this thing for like $150 in a couple of years.
Wait a couple of years. So, yeah.
I don't know, man. It feels like these whole universe, the metaverse didn't really catch on, and virtual reality headsets for the PlayStation didn't really catch on. So I'm not sure that this is the right time for this. But, hey, if anybody knows how to create something that changes the world, I guess it would be Apple.
Yeah, it would be. I guess it would be them. All right, well, it's a great question, Steve. Are you back in tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll be back with you tomorrow.
All right, I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
See you then, bud.
All right, that's Zinsmeister, the BQ poll question today, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. You can go to KTAR.com. You can weigh in, and you can see how others voted. I think I stumped him. I think he was, think he thought I was joking about calculators. No, it's true. Ask your grandparents out there. Ask your grandparents. Yes, when we were kids, calculators were so high tech, they kept them behind the counter, under glass, locked up, because they were that expensive. Tape recorders, cassette tape recorders, behind glass. True story. So it happened. And now all of a sudden you have one of each on your phone. So I don't think virtual reality is going to be that expensive for that long. We're going to talk about Governor Hobbs and the border in just a moment.